Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Great to have your company here on Sports Day and what has been a wet and thunderstorm-ridden evening with plenty of lightning. There is a big display happening as we launch here on our program tonight. 922-11882 is the number. Our talkback core of the day, a $50 voucher thanks to the wonderful team at the Bottle-O. You've got to love your local. You've got to love the Bottle-O. What's on your mind out of the weekend of sport? The hot topic for Repco, for expert car air conditioning service you can rely on. You visit repcoservice.com, is that stupid statue rule in the footy. Brennan Cox moved a couple of inches and got pinged in that game that I saw involving the West Coast Eagles and the Freo Dockers on the weekend. I know I'm going to harp on this for a little while, everyone. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to apologise right off the top, but I don't like it. I hope it gets better from here. I hope we don't see too many paltry free kicks like that one given out. I wonder what my co-host thinks tonight. Good evening to you, Paul Hazelby.
Good day, Carl. Yeah, look, I agree with you. It was a horrible look because that's how we know football to be. We've seen that not paid many a times. And it's going to take a fair bit of change. It's going to take some understanding from all the supporters out there. But I still believe it's for the betterment of the game in the long term. And I think they have to be consistent. Many will say, oh, yeah, maybe we just, you know, that's too harsh on that sort of movement. But if you don't have consistency, then I think frustration will come in. But one thing I do know is that Justin Long would have spoken to Luke Ryan and said, mate, you can't do that. He would have told all of his teammates, all the defenders, when you get beaten in a one-on-one marking contest or give away a free kick, you can't move around and show frustration. Every other AFL coach around the land would be showing that to their players today. This is the rule. This is what we can't do. So I'm confident it's not going to occur too often in the future. Maybe the first few rounds, but I think in time it won't happen consistently or maybe at all. And I think that'll be a good thing for the game.
I hope you're right. 922-11882. Did you tune in and watch the Eagles and the Dockers, anyone? 43 points at Laflame Park. Good win by the Dockers and exciting too with a lot of their young players, Hayes, playing well.
Yeah, certainly Brayshaw and Chera look like they're going to take the next step to become A-graders this year. Sarong continued on with his really good form. They've got Hayden Young back, a top pick from last year. He can really kick the footy. He was impressive coming back from injury. Then you've got the older boys that came back and got some minutes in Hamling and Pierce. And Lloyd Meek, the ruckman, with Sean Darcy being out injured and likely to miss the early part of the season, he came in and he gives them more depth. He may even take over from Sean Darcy in time with what a few have seen from him with his improvement this year. Michael Walters back into the forward line full-time, kicked the four goals as well. And Josh Treacy, got to pat the boys on the back down there at Fremantle with their recruiting. This was a rookie pick from this year, Carl. Not many rookie picks get an early go as a key forward, full forward, centre-half forward type. He kicked the two goals. He was pretty impressive in the first hit-out they had against each other where he kicked three goals. So positive signs there and good recruiting.
922-11882, join the program. Lots to talk about tonight. The Wildcats going well. They won on Friday night when Hayes and I were down at the Trots. And thanks to the wonderful team, to John Bird and to Mick Radley and for those that were able to entertain us on that night. Hayes, you had your dad there. I was able to bring along my wife, my neighbour Anne, who had called our program and contributed so many times. And I know Anne will be listening right now. You got to meet her for the very first time.
Oh, I did. We had a great time there. It's a special view, isn't it? And a big race. Unfortunately, our horse didn't win the big race, but, gee, we had a good time. And my nephew got a first four, Carl, would you believe, with a mystery bet. $7.50 mystery first four. He got it, $23 winner, paid $5,000. He got 20% of it. So that's how easy it can happen sometimes.
Yeah, unbelievable it was too. So many other good results out of the weekend and some not-so-good results. We'll get into slaps and sledges in a little while where we'll talk about those, but thanks to the Bottle-O, the $50 voucher, great range, friendly service. They're independently owned by the locals. Got to love your local, got to love the Bottle-O. Here on this Labor Day holiday, come on, pick up the phone and get involved and have your say. And Muzza in Beckenham has done that. He's first tonight. G'day, Muzz.
G'day, boys. Well, I'm going to say, what's the sixth letter of the alphabet, mate? It's F, isn't it, right? We'll use that letter at the start of the word, put BS after it. And these imbeciles and absolute joke on AFL, whoever made this rule up, should be sacked on the spot and put in front of the foreign squad. What a bloody disgrace. Seeing the Oscar Allen one, mate, that is a joke.
Did you actually, and Hayes, I know that it's been done to death. I think you were saying Luke Ryan before, but obviously you were talking Brennan Cox, weren't you, when the 50-metre penalty when he was standing on the mark? When,
yeah, sorry, Brennan Cox. Yep, my mistake there.
No, that's okay. I just thought that you may have been able to alert me to another one. But, I mean, there was the same sort of frustration come out of, and we'll have a chat to Hamish Hartlett a little bit later on tonight after 7 o'clock about the match which they played against Adelaide on the weekend. It is going to take a lot of people a little bit of time to adjust to this one. Look, I hope the players are able to adjust a lot quicker than what I've already seen, because in the end, the poor blokes that are going to cop it in the neck are the umpires, the ones that are having to make the decision. Because whilst I'm calling it a disgrace, the decision's correct. Like, Brennan Cox didn't stand still like a statue. He moved his toes. He lifted his heels. So this is the correct interpretation by the umpires. And people are saying, oh, well, I hope they don't call these ones or they'll relax a little bit later on in the year. No, no, they won't. Well, they shouldn't. Because if they're actually going to apply the rule, that's the actual rule that's been introduced into the competition, which has got a lot of people right now shaking their head.
Yeah, I don't think people are having a go at the umpires on this occasion.
Well, they will.
I think they are going at Steve Hocking. I think that's where the frustration is coming from. So I think they are going easy on the umpires. But, Carl, a couple of years ago, we had that new interpretation around the protected area, didn't we? And there's been a lot of 50s paid with that, and that frustrated a lot of people early.
Still
and I feel that there was more of them paid in the early rounds than we've seen probably across the first round. We're yet to get into the main stuff, but I'm hoping that the players and the coaches are quick learners and they'll get it right. Because I'm like you, I don't want to see that ruin games of footy. But I do believe holistically the rule, if done correctly by everybody, will allow teams 2-3 more seconds to move the ball in without allowing teams to fold back with their defence, which inherently would be good for the game.
Well, in the end, that shot on the weekend, if that had been a chance to win the game, and you're right at the end of the game, and you're sort of 35, 40 metres out, and maybe a chance of being 50-50, get dragged down to the goal line just for moving like that. God help me. Alex in Northlake, hello.
G'day, Carl. G'day, Paul. I just want to have a complaint about the AFL terminating the broadcast that the Dockers and the Eagles have put together for the spectators at three-quarter time. Apparently, there's a clash with the Western Bulldogs GWS women's game, so they didn't continue the telecast after three-quarter time, which is just not good enough, I don't reckon.
Yeah, look, it was interesting. I'm not sure it was just that clash. I think there was other clashes with maybe some of the local games here, and they were pretty strong in that, the AFL, that they didn't want that clash to occur across the competition because they want to give some fresh air or some free air to the women. And I've been quite strong on that I've been frustrated in recent times that the women get four rounds and then the men's pre-season has started off and it takes a bit of focus away from them. And if they're going to invest a lot, which they have, I think they need some free air for a period of time. So I'm not against it, but I can understand there was some frustration from many people out there because they love watching the men play and they got right into that game, engrossed in the game and was taken away from them for a period of time. But it was put back up there, wasn't it, Alex, after those games were completed?
I did end up watching the last quarter, but I had to watch that separately. But the other thing is in terms of the man on the mark rule, I don't think it made much difference to the game at all, other than the 50-metre penalty. I couldn't see any difference in the way that the game flowed or anything like that. So,
got any, mate? Yeah, well, I think that I think most are of the view, and Hayes, I think, is of the view that it's going to open the game up. But I just think we've just got to have a little bit of common sense around it. And I don't know, even if you give a bloke a warning for just moving a millimetre to start with, I think that
would
be fair.
The Dockers did score, though, didn't they, Carl? They haven't kicked big scores in recent times, and all of a sudden they're able to open up the West Coast Eagles, a really good defence, and I think they might have kicked 16 goals for the game. So, there's one difference that I've seen from last year. I know they would have been improved. They would have been working on their ball movement as well.
Yep, let's quickly clear our commitment. So you'll be blown away with air conditioning service at Repco Authorised Service. Book at repcoservice.com. What's hot for you? We'll also get into some slaps and sledges after this.
Stay for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Plenty of callers coming through. Let's head to Shane in Brookton. G'day, Shane.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Borry, I was just wondering, mate, have you had any phone calls from Channel 7 yet? I reckon you'd take on the mantle as the number one football caller in WA, better than some of the strokers that are going around.
No, is the short answer to that, Shane, on the back of the great Bruce McAvaney calling it quits over the weekend. I was a little bit surprised, but obviously Bruce doing it.
Yeah, mate, it is, but I just thought that you, mate, you actually call them pretty well, and you always have. I think that some of the guys that are going around, you do a hell of a lot better job than some of them, mate, so hopefully that phone call doesn't come to you, mate.
All right, thank you very much.
Would you take it, Carl? Would you do the Friday night slot if you were called upon?
If I could stay here in Perth, I'd do it, Hayes. But I doubt that that'll happen. Although these days with technology, after what we experienced last year, we had to call it off TV sitting in studio. So I reckon that's what will happen a fair bit with the AFL and, you know, broadcasters. I know that Foxtel have generally done that a fair bit, Hayes, particularly with those more remote locations. So I reckon there's probably going to be more of that happen than not. And it takes away all the cost of travel, you know, and that's right across.
What you said before, look, coaches will be showing this on videos and drumming it into their heads. You've got to be a statue on the mark, no doubt about that. But when it's going to occur would be when the adrenaline's running, especially in big games in the first quarter, in the first couple of minutes. That's where all the penalties, I believe, that will be given if they don't get it. You know, if umpires can't get the structure to the team, to the team players, you know, under wraps and say you cannot do this. But also, I'm more concerned. I mean, that's a rule that you can overcome. You know, it's a human body saying you've got to stand here. I'm just waiting, and it's going to happen. Believe me, it's going to happen. The rule about out of bounds deliberately, that's going to determine a big, big game in the near future. And look, you can kick a ball straight west out to the boundary. But if you kick a ball northwest in the direction you're kicking and it takes a right turn and the crowd are hissing the umpire and saying that was deliberate, you know, 9 times out of 10 the umpires get it right, but that one time it's going to decide a crucial game.
What do you reckon?
I think it's one of the most subjective rules that is inconsistent from game to game, from match to match, really, because there's sometimes when the player really tries to keep it in, but because he's pushed or the angle that the ball goes off his foot, it's paid against him. But I think as fans, we've learnt really to deal with that one because it's been ingrained in us. We've known that to be the case for our whole time in football as a supporter and also as a player. So clearly there will come a time where it does determine a match because of a poor decision made.
One thing about this statue on the mark, Hayes, do you actually have to stand on the mark? Do you actually have to? Is that a rule, or can you not take the mark?
You can run away early, but as soon as the umpire places you there and says you're there,
mm-hmm.
then you're stuck there.
But what if you don't go on the mark? Why can't you just stay back behind it like 2 or 3 metres? Then you're not actually on the mark.
That would become the mark. As soon as he puts you on a spot,
mm-hmm.
that
so essentially
it.
One bloke is going to be a statue every time.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Cam in Rockingham, g'day. Russ in Rockingham, it is.
G'day, guys. Long time no speak.
Where have you been?
Yeah,
where have
you been crabbing?
Nah, mate. I haven't been in love or anything, Carl, either, but just life in general pretty busy, guys. But health's good. But I want to take you to task, guys, on two things. Is my little 2-year-old, Carl, looks like challenging you guys in the next couple of weeks. We were reserving the final on Friday night, and you guys have got to start, and in the near future, I'd say we'll be taking you to task, Carl.
Righto, slaps and sledges here for Sullivan Logistics. 3 votes for storage and overnight freight. They never say no. Well, our horse didn't really fire a shot. Was done with about 400 to go, Russ. What's your little horse called?
El Roberto, Carl.
El Roberto.
Was reserve in the final. Just fixing a few things up with the horse. The trainer's really professional, and in the near future, I'd say we'll meet you and have a good tussle. But, guys, question for you.
Ours is going out to the paddock, mate, because it needs to be fattened up. Yep, go on. What's your question?
Question for you, without taking anything to detail. I heard a few bits and pieces. You hear anything about Cam McCarthy's future in doubt at South Fremantle, and he's made a few bad decisions in the last couple of months. Are you anything notified about that, you guys?
No, and I asked a question about him to somebody at the club in recent times, but no, I certainly didn't get that response. But, you know, we've had a few people ring in and ask about, you know, why isn't he getting an opportunity at other clubs? And I think maybe that is something that's probably held him back from getting the opportunity, because clearly he's good enough, isn't he, Russ, from what I've seen? He dominated or lit up a game of footy when he kicked 5 goals when he got super fit. When Melbourne got their injuries, he was a player that sprung to mind that, you know, maybe an opportunity to go and train to have a look at him. But clearly there's something holding clubs back, and you might be onto something.
Hey guys, just what amazes me is you guys are playing the highest level. It just really surprises me. Anything in life, whether you're running your business or any opportunity to get in your life to really limelight your life and take it somewhere, I just find too many people this day and age, irrelevant to Cam McCarthy, but people in general, sports, work, whatever, just seem to take advantage of the situation. They don't look at the long-term consequences of, happy to say, drifting off the rails or going and making bad decisions. And especially elite sports people, these cockroaches playing Bernard Atomic and people like that, they take advantage of the system. A lot of people would like to be in his position in life, and they are not able to get there, but they're as professional as him, and he's had a few lucky things go his way. I just find that he makes a bit of a joke of tennis, and a lot of people make a joke of professional sport in general when really you should take advantage of it.
All right, Russ. We'll see what other people think. 9221182. If you'd like to have a slap or a sledge at that, for Sullivan Logistics, your trusted storage and overnight freight expert, Sullivan Logistics, in it for the long haul. Gee, our girls got a nice old pasting, didn't they, in the one day up. The Queensland's W team, 368 off 50 overs. Beth Mooney, 163, slap for her, off 139 balls. Slap for Georgie Redmayne, 121 off 107 balls. And that was just unbelievable. And I'll tell you what, in the Sheffield Shield match just completed, there is a one-day cup at the Wacker tomorrow. I don't know whether that will proceed, given all the rain we've had, but WA and South Australia in the Shield games, a run feast. Headmaid, 223. Hunt, 109. Bancroft, 126. Green, another not out, 168. And Carey was not out, 82 in South Australia's second dig, Hayes.
Yeah, it was amazing. And gee, we're lucky, though, late in the game to get the draw. 9 for 148 and to see Hilton Cartwright play through some pain. He faced 122 balls, Carl, at the end of that innings to get through. Eventually he was out, but Liam O'Connor, he was there. He had to survive 11 balls. And the fields that I was seeing on social media, with so many around the bat trying to wait for that next wicket. Unlucky for South Australia. They were the better team in the game, but they don't get the outright points. And WA, they needed a big result. Result against South Australia, because up until that game they were winless at the bottom of the table.
Let's go to Mark in Belga, who joins us. 9221182 is our number. G'day, Mark. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, good, guys. How you doing?
Well,
this is probably a silly question, and it's about the statue on the mark rule. Do you reckon we're going to see more guys take on the player on the mark this season, break open play, especially with those guys with serious wheels? Seems like the guy on the mark can't move until the umpire calls play on.
Yep, 100%. I think the coaches will work it out. The players will work it out. I just hope that the umpires really start to call it as soon as they do start to deviate. And there was even calls or an article not long ago about Buddy Franklin and his arc, that potentially in that arc he's going to be called play on earlier because of this rule, because it is a big disadvantage to that statue on the mark if they can clearly just run away without him doing something. So it's something that I'm looking at and I'm going to watch closely, particularly this weekend when I go and watch it live, West Coast and Freo.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for your call. Stay on the line, mate. You've got a $50 voucher coming your way.
Yeah,
thanks
to
the Bottle-O. Good stuff. We like that. Neil Kilkenny not too far away from joining us. The other slaps that we've got to give out, I mean, we can slap and sledge all we like, but Shane Van Gisbergen, we'll talk motorsport tomorrow night, but he was victorious in the opening supercar round. He won the race on Saturday and again on Sunday, so he went back-to-back. To Callum Williamson, who won the 2020-2021 Mattington Toyota Sprint Car Series at Bunbury Speedway on Saturday night. He ended Jason Kendrick's three-year reign when it comes to that, so well done to them. The Wildcats, 3 from 3 in the NBL Cup, Hayes, and they play again on Wednesday night against the Phoenix. And I suppose we've got to pat the glory on the back too, mate, beating the Roar, and they take on Central Coast tomorrow, who are top of the table, 6 from 9, so we'll see whether they can roll them next.
Yeah, currently in 6th, the Glory, and I think they need special mention too, because they've got 3 games in hand, and they broke the record, Carl, for most goals scored in the opening 6 matches ever in the A-League competition. They are on fire. They're scoring heavily against their opposition, and looking forward to catching up with our next guest to talk a bit more about that.
Yeah, Neil Kilkenny is that man. He will join us straight after the break. You can too. 922-11882 is the number.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Now, welcome back. 922-11882 is our number. Well done to the Brisbane Lions for knocking over the Freo Dockers, breaking that record, Hayes, keeping it reasonable, I suppose. 11 straight wins by the girls was enough, wasn't it, on the back of them breaking your record of 9 wins down there at the Freo Dockers for slaps and sledges tonight?
Yeah, they're very good defensively, the Brisbane Lions, and they are a good team, to be honest. They now go above them on the ladder, and Collingwood now in the AFLW, the only undefeated team. So it's not a foregone conclusion for the Dockers. They've got work to do if they want to win this premiership in the AFLW. They now take on the West Coast Eagles. Big doubleheader coming up this weekend. But I did watch the game yesterday, too, to see West Coast defeat Gold Coast. It wasn't the prettiest of games, I must admit. Both teams had their chances late in the game, but the first win for the West Coast Eagles in season 2021, and for their new coach, his first win as well. So well done to Daniel Pratt and the team down there.
Are you a boxing fan, Hayes, at all? Do you actually tune in and watch much of the Aussie boxing? Are you someone that does that or not?
When the big names are in, yeah, but yeah. Not really.
So what about the latest fight that's been confirmed? Lucas Big Daddy Brown's going to take on Paul Gallen. Is any interest? April 21, Wollongong Entertainment Centre. You get a chance to see these two go at it. Lucas Big Daddy Brown, mate, he just towers over Paul Gallen. Be really interesting to see whether this is going to be any contest whatsoever. But you can't say Paul Gallen hasn't got guts.
No, he takes on anybody. But this is not the main fight, is it? This would be on the undercard, wouldn't it be, of a bigger fight?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, mate, for me, that's the main event. It's basically been locked in, as I said, only recently. There was a bit of talk about it today. It's being predicted that, well, certainly by Lucas Big Daddy Brown, that it won't go the distance. So yeah, it's been built up on social media for a long, long time. Brown's 41. He signed the papers to make it official. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But, I'm looking forward to that contest. I'll be tuning in. Let's go to our next guest. He's been fresh at training tonight in what would have been difficult conditions, I reckon, outside. Neil Kilkenny, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Going really well. So you're able to dodge the lightning, or did you work inside, indoors today, mate?
No, we had to delay it for about 10, 15 minutes just to obviously get through it, and then once it passed, we went out and trained.
Good result on the weekend. We're just talking about the performance. The fastest team to score, the most goals in the first six rounds of the competition. You must be pretty proud of how the boys are going in what was your 100th game.
Yeah, it's been a good start. Obviously, winning the games and the way that we're winning it with goals, you know. And hopefully, you know, we probably should have had more points, if I'm honest. We're in Melbourne victory. Conceded two late goals, and then obviously the mad game against Western United. But it's been a good season so far, so hopefully we can continue that tomorrow night.
Will it continue? Do you put it down to a more attacking game plan, or is it at this stage just more coincidental?
I think a bit of both. You know, obviously everyone knows that you can see with our strike force, you know, we've got a good attacking players, you know. We've got some young players striving to wanting to succeed. They've been given an opportunity this season, and a few of them, well, a lot of them have taken it with both hands. So hopefully they can continue with that form, and obviously the well-known players keep performing as well, and hopefully we can keep scoring goals and keep winning games.
Hey, Neil, what about Kazuki Ota, mate, the Japanese star? I know that Richie Garcia wants to take it easy with him, but he showed his class once coming off the bench.
Yeah, he come on and give us good balance on the left, you know. And he's a very experienced player. He's come in with a big smile on his face and settled in nicely. So, obviously, the manager's going to keep, you know, dipping him in and out for a little while to make sure that he doesn't break down through injury, because obviously we want it, once he gets in the team, hopefully he'll stay in the team with his fitness and obviously form. So we're looking forward to having him and strengthening our squad further.
Hey, Neil, in most sports, we're seeing coaches utilise the bench a lot more, and I was fascinated with the rotations from Richard Garcia. We're at the 61-minute mark, four off, four on. He thought that he wanted to inject something into the game. Do you feel it was a good move, and do you think we'll see more of that here in the A-League?
Yeah, obviously, off the results of, you know, the effect that the players that come on had on the game, they, you know, they give us a bit of, you know, bit more energy, you know. So it was fantastic that they all come on. And like I said, the players, that whoever's playing's coming on or starting, the ones that are getting their opportunity, they're taking it. And then it's fantastic for the squad. And it's fantastic to see quite a few young players play, because I'm really enjoying watching their development and helping them along the way.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have your company and great to have Daniel Rich on the program, a veteran up there at the Brisbane Lions. Welcome, mate.
Thank you for having me. It's always good to be back on the radio, the airways back in Perth.
Now, mate, just having a look at the weekend's action where you took on the Gold Coast in a practice match, you knew your recruit, Joe Danaher, looked like that he got on the scoreboard a little bit.
He did. I think he had the first three shots on goal, and yeah, it was good for Joey, but as a few of the boys have spoken about, it was good to get out there and play someone different than playing, I suppose, against each other.
How did he actually look, mate, and how's he been around the group since he's arrived?
Mate, he looked pretty sharp on the weekend, and I think it's no surprise in-house. He's been training really well, and he hasn't missed a session, hasn't missed a beat. I was lucky to do a little bit of training with him in the off-season, and I can tell then that he was mentally and physically ready to go. So I know he's excited about the season ahead.
How much do you think he'll help out Eric Hipwood, who also kicked a bag of goals as well, given he probably hasn't taken that number one mantle, I guess, as the key forward, which I thought he might develop into a few seasons ago. But having somebody like Joe next to him, it's surely got to be helpful.
Yeah, it's kind of the same theory when you have a couple of really good midfielders. If one of them's down, the other one can pick up the slack. Obviously, the best midfielder gets tagged, the best forward gets the best defender. So they're going to work hand in hand, I think, reasonably well. And there's a lot of other guys up in our forward line that are pretty dangerous. So it definitely adds another string to the bow of the footy club. And, he brings a lot off the field as well. And there's that wiser, experienced head up there as well, which can only help our group.
We put a lot of pressure on the number one picks in the AFL, and Cameron Rayner was that for you guys. Is he ready? I understood he played a bit more midfield time. He's teased us a little bit in the front half, but do you think this could be the year for him to break out?
Oh, definitely. He's been one of the standouts over the pre-season. I don't want to pump him up too much and blow too much wind into his sails, but he's been fantastic, and you're spot on. He's trained a fair bit more in the midfield. I probably suppose similar to how Dusty kind of started his career, a little bit more forward, and then kind of moved his way in there as he built a bit more of a tank and a bit more resilience to AFL footy. So, he's going really well, and still a young player, so we can't expect too much, but I think he's going to do some good things this season.
What can we expect from Nakia Cockatoo? He was highly rated as a junior. We never saw the best of him at the Cats, but what have you found from him in his early time at the club?
Yeah, he's been really good. He's one of those guys that's got so much talent, and he's just been a bit unlucky with injury. But out on the track, you definitely get the impression and see how good of a player he's been spoken about. So he's going to be one that's going to be a great addition. He's, as Fags has kind of mentioned, he's still kind of finding himself and finding that trust in his body to play a full game of footy and get that workload in. So he'll be right once that's the case.
Now, what about down your end of the field, mate? In defence, there, are we going to see much structural change? Are you pretty settled?
There's definitely a lot of guys who are going really well back there. But I think over the last couple of seasons, we've been pretty settled back there. There's always a few changes here and there, but it's been a part of the ground where I suppose you need a little bit more, I suppose, wisdom and experience in a way, and have a bit of a different head on your shoulders. But the back kind of group's reasonably settled. It has been over the last few years. So, but that means by no means that it won't change throughout the season.
You beat the Suns quite comfortably on the weekend. What are we likely to see, you reckon, this coming week? Because like West Coast and Freo, you take them on again, and I'm sure there's a little bit on Queensland's bragging rights, isn't there?
Yeah, the Q Clash is obviously spoken about a fair bit. I know they're practice games, but even in inter-club games, I'll be honest with you, when I cross the white line, no matter what the teams are, I get pretty competitive. And I think naturally, as footy players, as we all know, you get into it, or you get a knock or a tackle, and it's game on. So it'll be no different this weekend. But I think on the weekend we kind of kicked a few on them early in the first quarter, and the scoreboard didn't change too much from then on. So besides that portion of the game, it was a pretty even contest.
Now, mate, I had Charlie Cameron in my little dream team last year. He's very productive. How's he tracking?
Yeah, little Ranger's going well. He's a little live wire up there, and I think he'll be in store for another good season. He's one of those guys, and I'm glad he's playing for us and not the opposition, I'll tell you that.
You got a few West Aussies up there too. Give us some progress reports on young Devon Robertson, who we saw a little bit of last year early in the pre-season. Jackson Pryor, another one, son of Mickey Pryor over here. And Marcus Adams, he's been to hell and back a few times.
Yeah, that's three guys. I'll start with the two young guys, Dev and Jacko, both three going really well. Jackson's he's been a bit of a standout for me this pre-season. He's obviously a defender who's kind of adding that wing position to his kit bag. So he's going really well. They're both young guys who are just ripper young men as well. So they fitted in superbly well. And as you mentioned with Marcus, he's the last couple of years had a shocking run of injury. So he's come good, and he'll be ready to go this season.
We've spoken a lot about the rule change and the manning of the mark rule. We won't go into it anymore, but the kick-in rule change, we'll give it a rest. Carl hates it. I'm kind of for it. But the kick-in rule change, they've gone back further on the mark, and you do a lot of the kick-ins. What have you seen early on in the pre-season this time around?
Yeah, it definitely gives you a bit more room, that's for sure, and probably opens up the field a bit more. I think it's a good addition to the game that probably get the ball going a bit more, because I definitely notice it when it's coming the other way, and we're defending kick-ins, it's a lot more open, and as a defender you can kind of see that a lot more. But I think that's going to be a good run for the game, and I suppose the rule is what it is, and players and coaches and everyone kind of adapts to it and moves on and gets on with it.
Now, be honest here. Now, with the kick-in rule, because the man is a long way back, it just makes sense to play on all the time, doesn't it, and get the extra stat?
Oh, I think at the right time, if there's a play where it's on early and someone's wide open, then you don't need to play on. But you'll find that guys will play on more than they ever have in the past, and that's being completely honest, because there's room there, and why not take it? You'd rather have it 10 metres closer to your goal than opposition, so no doubt that'll be the case.
How good can Zach Bailey be?
Yeah, I know I said there's been a fair few standouts this pre-season, but I suppose in a young group that the improvement happens pretty quickly. And he's been one. He's a little bit more mature. He's been around a bit longer. But, yeah, he's one of those guys that I think adds a different dimension to our midfield. He's super quick and agile. And he's, for someone that's not massive, he breaks tackles and he's got really good pace. And he's worked on that inside over the last, I suppose, 18 to 24 months, and he'll spend more time in centre bounces as opposed to just sitting on the wing or half forward. So, it's an exciting proposition for the footy club.
Now, mate, I know we're back to a normal season, and I know we're back to normal lengths of games, but do you reckon that you are better placed than you were last season heading into 2021?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, yeah, it definitely would be based on last season, the experiences of last season, being able to make it to a prelim with a reasonably youngish list. You can't really buy that experience. It's one of those things, we were so disappointed, but we learnt so much, and we learnt from losses throughout the season and whatnot. So you add all those things in and it can only leave you in a better position. And young guys are developing. We picked up, obviously, we've spoken about a few of our recruits that we picked up. So, yeah, I think we definitely can hopefully only improve. But having said that, there's a lot of work to, so we know how much work's to get done to get back to where we want to be.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much for sharing some time with us tonight and all the best to you for the season ahead.
No worries. My pleasure. Good to have a chat.
Good on you. Daniel Rich here on Sports Day. And Hayes, we didn't even speak about the old firm like Zorko and Neil and Richie himself. And there's a long list of them. Mitch Robinson. There's plenty more.
Lions as well. McGluggage as well, who re-signed as well. It is looking good, isn't it, for Brisbane this year. It is their time. They last year had a good run with the amount of games they had in Queensland. So it's not going to go all their way. But if they can get Joe Danaher up and firing with 50 goals, I think it helps out all their forwards, including Hipwood and Charlie Cameron as well.
All right, we'll come back with more of Sports Day after this. Our number is 922-11882. Welcome back to Sports Day. We will be joined by Hamish Hartlett straight out of the 7 o'clock news. Daniel Pratt and Trent Cooper back-to-back with the AFLW on the weekend. The Eagles winning. The Dockers ending their winning streak. Tim Gears will join us. He is going to be part of the Rick Charlesworth Cup, which is coming up starting on the 5th of March. We'll get into the dig and what happened on this day. And Kia's top seven all after 7 o'clock tonight. Stay with us. Nice to have your company here on Sports Day. As I forecast prior to the 7 o'clock news tonight, we'd be having a chat to Hamish Hartlett from Port Adelaide. He joins us now. Welcome, mate. Nice to chat.
G'day, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, how'd you go with, well, that club down the road that you really don't like to talk about when you're over in Adelaide on the weekend?
it was fantastic, you know, just to play against a proper opposition. I think, as you guys know, sort of the pre-season, towards the back end of it, it gets a bit repetitive playing against your own teammates. So it was nice to play against a proper opposition and just get a bit of a gauge as to where we're at. But no, we played well. We had a pretty good win, and we sort of got through the game unscathed, which is the main thing at this time of the year.
Slow start, then you blew them away. What about the bold statements coming out of your club? I personally like it. 5-year plan, 3 premierships in that time. You've been at the club for a long time, Hamish. Is this the best position you've been in your time, do you think?
Yeah, personally, I certainly do from an on-field point of view. I think our list, and I've said this to a few people in recent times, I think our list is as good, certainly the quality and the depth of the quality that we've got, it's as good as I've seen it in my time. I think it's my 13th season coming up, so have been around the place for a little while. But yeah, I'm just super excited about the depth of the quality that we've got on the list. And yeah, I think our new CEO, Matty Richardson's come out and made some big statements. But clearly, as a football club, from the top all the way through, we're very confident in the position that we're in, and we feel like these goals are achievable. So, why not to go after them?
Can you imagine playing for another 5 years, Hamish, and finishing with 3 premierships? That'll be all right, wouldn't it?
Well, I'll be 35 by then, so I don't know. Yeah, I'd like to squeeze out another 5 years out of this knee and these legs, but at the moment it's sort of a game-by-game proposition from my end, but it would be nice to finish on a bit of a high like that, for sure.
To me, the list has improved over the off-season. Some big signings. Aliyah Ali, you've always been a little bit short down back. Now that sort of shores up that position. And Orazio Fantasia, the other one, that was an A-grader in my mind going back 3 seasons ago. He struggled big time with injuries. Do you feel like you're going to get the best out of those two?
Yeah, no doubt. Aliyah, he had some jaw surgery at the end of last season. So he was sort of modified in his training up until 3 or 4 weeks ago. But since he's come back into full training, he has not stepped the foot wrong. So his intercept game and his ability to run and create off half-back is super exciting for us. And you're right, he certainly gives us a bit of a different dynamic in the air as well, with just how long he is with his reach. So that's really exciting for us. And, Orazio, we were in a similar boat a few years ago. I remember before playing against Essendon, he was the danger man of their forward line, and his body hasn't been real kind to him the last couple of years, but he's in great condition at the moment. He's completed most of the pre-season, and he's played really well in his first couple of games for us. super excited about what those guys can bring for us.
Hamish, you've spent a fair bit of time in the back half recently. How are you coping with all these new rules, given that they want more goals kicked? You liking them?
Yeah, obviously the man on the mark rule is the one that has caused a bit of a stir recently. It's taken a little while to adapt to, but I do think it's going to be good for the game from an offensive point of view. Look, there's going to be some decisions that are going to rub the fans up the wrong way. We're going to have to cop that on the chin for a little while. I think, as many new rules are, the umpires will be really strict on them early on in the season, and then we'll probably see things be recalibrated a bit as the season goes on, and they probably won't be as strict on it. But I think it will create a more dynamic and exciting style of game for everyone, which is positive from my point of view.
When it comes to winning the premiership, I think my co-host, and Hayes, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think you were pretty bold the other day predicting that Port Adelaide could win the premiership.
Correct.
From what you've seen this year. So Hayes has certainly put the pressure on. What do you think has to happen for you as a football club to be able to achieve that?
That's a good question. I think... definitely in the year just gone, or 2020, we had a lot of our really good players and our senior players play well for the most part of the year. You know, the consistency of our very good players was there throughout the whole season. So that's clearly going to be important for us again. We had a pretty good run with injury as well. So, yeah. You know, those things are always handy to have, you know, form and a good run with injury. But I just feel like... mentally, we're prepared to take on challenges. We adapted to last season, you know, really well in terms of all the COVID stuff and the challenges that we faced there. And that might be the same this year. We're not too sure, but we feel like we adapted really well to different circumstances and challenges that were thrown our way. And we've just got to be really, really confident in our game plan, and we feel like we've built that belief within the last sort of two seasons to go forward with what we're doing on field. So I think the foundation's certainly there for us to have another good season.
In my time, I don't reckon I'd seen an injury list like yours at the end of last season. I think you had everyone available, and I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that the only three blokes that have had post-season surgery is you, a little tweak on your knee, Boakey on his knee, and Tommy Jonas with his finger. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, correct. And, you know, again, touch wood, we've had a great run so far throughout the pre-season. So, you know, a lot of that comes down to great management from our sports science and fitness department. They pretty much count every step that we take at various speeds throughout every single training session. We manage, you know, accordingly to each load that each of us are capable of dealing with. So, you know, they do a fantastic job. And now I suppose there is an element of luck in terms of the collision injuries that we've been able to avoid over the last year or two as well. So things are going well, and hopefully it can stay that way.
Just another old stager, Travis Boak. He's been remarkably consistent in the last few years, mate. He's been right up there with the best of them, in my opinion. Why? I know he goes to, well, he was going, I think, overseas and having a regime at altitude, maybe. Is that something that anyone else has explored, and is he still doing it now?
Yeah, so Boak, pretty much every off-season for as long as I can remember, will... he likes getting over to America just to really get away from Adelaide and Australia in general and get out of the whole elite sporting bubble. He goes over there, and not only does it give him a bit of a mental break, but he looks at the best facilities over there to try and train at and just add different elements to his training regime and training program over there. He's got a connection with Red Bull. I think they sponsor him as well, so... they sort of look after him, and he trains with, you know, different athletes from all over the world, and just finds little ideas to get himself better that he can bring back to the next season. And he's incredible with his routine from week to week. He doesn't stray too far from his house and then Alberton. He's got a couple of cafes that he frequents every now and then, but you know, he's very, very strict with his regime throughout the week, and he makes sure he gets all his recovery done. He's just the ultimate professional. There's no wonder why he's getting better and better with age. you know, his body's held up and his form's been outstanding. So he's in line for another big year, I think, Trav.
Hamish, what about the ruck setup? What are you expecting with Lysett being there? But one guy I'm a big fan of is Peter Laddams. I think he can be anything in this competition.
Yeah, you're dead right. So I think, you know, Scooter's super reliable with his ruck work. He covers the ground really well, Scotty as well. So, you know, I dare say he'll lead the way this year. But, yeah, the development of Peter over the last 12 to 18 months has been super exciting for everyone to see. I think over this pre-season, he's added a real contested marking element to his game as well, which probably haven't seen too much of at AFL level, but he seems to have found a new confidence in his marking ability, and his stuff at ground level is it's almost unmatched. You know, with any ruckman in the competition, he's so agile and you know, he covers the ground really well. So he's a great talent. He's a good kid. He's, as most ruckmen are, they're a little bit strange, a little bit different, but he's got some super footy ability, and we can't wait to get the best out of him this season.
Now, COVID's brought about a few mythbusters, in my opinion. One was last year with the time spent between games. Everybody thought 6 days, 7 days was probably right, but you can do less, and it was good to see everybody get through. But what about the pre-season? Do you feel like one game is going to be enough, and going forward, that's all that's going to be required? Maybe the same setup as you had last week, and then going into one proper one?
Yeah, I think teams will be more than prepared for the upcoming season. I think you'll find that you know, towards the back end of most pre-seasons at any club, you're pretty much playing, you know, four quarters of match play within your training sessions. So you do get that match sim conditioning. You know, as I mentioned earlier, it is nice to play against an opposition just to test yourselves out against someone else. You know, so that's the benefit you get from having a pre-season game officially fixtured, I suppose. But yeah, the guys will be more than ready to hit the ground running come round one in a few weeks' time.
Nice to chat, mate. Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Good on you, fellas. Thanks very much.
Good on you. Hamish Hartlett there, and he talks a very good game of footy, Hayes, and they are feeling pretty bullish, as they should, on what they were able to do last year.
All bases covered for me, Carl. They are ready, and from what I read about the game against Adelaide, I know they're lowly Adelaide at this point, but they blew them off the park, and I'm expecting big things, particularly with Fantasia. If he can get near that form that he showed prior to his injuries, they've got another forward threat, and they've already got probably five or six very good ones.
Our AFLW coaches back-to-back. Daniel Pratt of the West Coast Eagles, followed by Trent Cooper from the Freo Dockers next here on Sports. Welcome back to Sports Day, and the news headlines is the West Coast Eagles AFLW team got their first win for season 2021, and I reckon they would have headed into their local, the Bottle-O, to have a couple of quiet ones. Daniel Pratt, their coach, joins us on the show. Welcome, mate. How are you going?
I'm going well, fellas. How are you going? Well, good to have a
win. Yeah, we're going well, mate. Well, it was a tight finish in the end. You've won by a miserly point, but Swanson, Collier and Bowen certainly were busy on the day.
Yeah, we're getting a bit thin through that midfield with a few players out, Hooks being out, and then McCarthy coming out late. So I thought, Bowen and Collier really stood up for us when it counted, and as we would expect, Swanee fought it out well as well. So really good job from those three, but I think the group effort was overall for me is what was probably the most pleasing thing.
Belinda Smith was good. Lewis was good as well. And Grace Kelly probably played her best game, I reckon. She's exciting when she goes near the ball. Still got a bit of work to do with her decision-making. But have you enjoyed working with the Irish girls coming across?
Yeah, it's, I think that our game style that we're looking to implement will really suit those girls. And I felt like we got a bit more flow into our game at times on the weekend when we weren't stuck in our D50, when we were able to get some good turnovers and go a bit quicker. It actually brought those girls into the game more. So I think the further we build through the game style and understanding of it, I think we'll see those girls get on the end of it a lot more flow in the game. So looking forward to that happening.
one player that I've been watching for a while. She was at Fremantle when I first started, and she's had a pretty tough run with injuries, but she's a really good goal assist player. And I found early in your game, every time you scored, it was on the back of something that she did. And I think you'd probably know it's Mel Caulfield, but, you know, she does have influence on games if she gets enough possessions.
Oh, definitely. I think we really missed her in the first couple of weeks, and she's just building back to full fitness now. So I've been really keen to get her into the team, just to compliment those girls you've spoken about, the Irish girls, and you know, herself and Atkins. I've got some real smarts you can't teach quickly to players. So I've been really happy with how she's gone about it. And Ryan Turnbull, the forward coach, has been really pleased with how she's going as well. So it's good that she's hitting some form.
McCarthy didn't get up for the game, but Kate Orme came in and she kicked a nice goal, 11 disposals as well. She's a great club story, isn't she? Of course, working at the club and almost was there doing the social media when she got drafted.
Yeah, it's been a bit of an up and down ride for Orme. She's you know, one of the heart and soul players of the group. She helps drive the culture internally as well, which is great. So it's good to get her in the team and glad she was able to impact on the game. So I'm sure she's feeling good about herself at the moment, which is great.
Now, I understand the team celebrated a bit last night, which is always good. And it's important, isn't it, when you are part of a team and you don't have too much success, to get out and have a few drinks as a group?
Yeah, we did get together last night. We had something, a function planned with Michelle Cowan, the football manager. She'd planned something regardless of how we went. So it's always better when you have a win to go and have a couple of quiet drinks together and enjoy each other's company. So it was good. It was good to see the girls let their hair down a little bit. So they've been working really hard over the last few months and finally got some reward for it.
And speaking about reward, Michaela Bowen named as the Rising Star nominee, 21 disposals, 7 marks, and that match-winning goal.
Yeah, she's putting herself in really good positions to influence the game, Bowes, and she'll keep developing further and further as she gets older. So we've still lots of things to work on with her game, along with Bella as well, but we've got some... You know, I reckon we've got a couple of stars with those two coming through, and it's pleasing that Bowes has been rewarded with that accolade.
And look, she probably comes with a little bit of pressure too, doesn't it? I mean, being a number one draft pick from Swans, she's the fairest and best winner there, 2016. She captained the side, winning the 2017 Premiership. So, you know, such a young player that has done a lot in the early part of her career.
Yeah, she's... she's got quite a mature head on her and on her shoulders, and all those experiences have got her to where she is now. So she's still got a lot to learn about footy, but I reckon we've got a real good one in just having her around. So I think she's going to be at the club for a long time, and looking forward to working with her further.
Hey, Praddy, you got the win, but I reckon you're going to earn your money as a coach this week, because from some teams that I was involved in, when you finally get that first win, there's a bit of a letdown the next week because players are a little bit comfortable with themselves, and you come up against the Dockers team that got beaten for the first time in 12 starts.
Yeah, you can look at it that way. I've definitely I've just finished reviewing the game about 5 minutes ago, so definitely not comfortable with where we're at. We've got a lot of work to do still, and we probably got lucky in some ways on the weekend, and we potentially could have won by 4 or 5 goals if we had some more composure. So however you want to look at it, you can. But I think the messaging will be, we've got to keep building on what we're trying to achieve. And we've got another real good challenge this week. You know, Fremantle have probably going to want to bounce back pretty hard, and it's going to be a very big test for our girls.
What players are you likely to get back?
Well, hoping we get Ash McCarthy back this week and maybe Gilmore, but we're still pretty thin with injuries, so we'll keep working through that. A couple of girls played, I know Guard played Waffle on the weekend, as did a couple of other girls. Green had a game back in the Waffle as well, so we're starting to get a couple back. I think we're going to have 2 or 3 more available than we did on the weekend, which is good. So hopefully Ashmack gets back in and we can add some depth to that midfield.
How is Alicia Jantz tracking, mate? Obviously, she was out for a long time with injury. She's played the last couple of games, and Paris Laurie obviously has had a little bit more of a rest, given that she was probably punching above her weight. But those two in combination, and Jantz going forward?
Yeah, I've been happy with Jantz. She's just a competitor, so obviously she transitioned from another sport, and she's played a little bit of footy, but just had such a long way off. She's trying to learn our game style by playing in AFL, so she hasn't really had a good look at it on the training track or anything like that yet. She's probably done 3 weeks of training, including the ones just gone into the game. So I think she'll keep building, and it's just important we give Paris some support in the ruck. She's obviously undersized, so I think we've had to hang her out a little bit longer than she probably would like or you'd expect to for her to get through a whole season. So it's good having some support for her.
And look, even probably more special, the victory for Jantz and Amara Cameron, given the club's relations when it comes to what they do, when it comes to connecting Indigenous and that club, Indigenous Guernsey, that you wore on the weekend.
Yeah, we did a lot of, I wouldn't say education, it's probably just good learning for the girls about the history of the club. Obviously, Cal, you know yourself the history that the club has with Indigenous culture. So we spent a lot of time on that during the week, and we had dinner together during the week. We ate some traditional meals as well. So for dinner together, which was really good, and we had some education from the Wirrupunda Foundation. So it was a really good week for those girls, and I think the fact that they feel like they belong is really important to us as a club. So I think that tackle that Amara put on in the last minute of the game was probably representative of that. So it's good that we can pay our respects that way.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much for your time tonight. Take care.
Too easy, boys. Have a good one.
Good on you. Daniel Pratt here on Sports Day. Great range, friendly service. They're independently owned by the locals. Got to love your local. You've got to love the Bottle-O. And a big game coming up this week for the Frio Dockers. Trent Cooper beaten for the first time in the last 12 outings. Can you believe it? Ending that winning reign. He will join us next here on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day, and something that I didn't see coming, to be perfectly honest, particularly down at their home deck at Frio Oval in good conditions, but it's happened. The AFLW team at Fremantle have lost their first game, winning 11 in a row, and their coach Trent Cooper joins us. Welcome, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, no, not too bad, not too bad. Life goes on, and we can learn from the weekend.
What happened?
I think Brisbane turned up to play, and we probably didn't. And it just shows you, with those top sides, a couple of weeks ago, I thought we turned up to play Adelaide, and Adelaide were a bit off, so we got that result. And Adelaide turned up, and Brisbane weren't quite switched on, and Adelaide got them. And then on the weekend, it was the other way around, where Brisbane really turned up to play, and we weren't quite there, and they got the result. So all credit to Brisbane.
Hey, Trent, you're a very quick ball movement team. Did you feel Brisbane did anything different structurally behind the ball to try and reduce your scoring? Because they did that. I know you kicked some points, but a lot of your star forwards didn't have an impact on the day.
Yeah, no, definitely. And Luckins is obviously a very good key defender. But then they put a wing, sort of, particularly when we were with the Breeze, behind the ball all day, Conway, and play like a goalkeeper, and was very effective. And we didn't get enough out of our wings to counter that and to make her more accountable. So, well coached by Craig Starcevich, and it gives us some good learnings going forward, because other sides will do that to us. They have in the past as well, and we need to adjust better to those situations. So it's, definitely easier to learn when you've got some tangible evidence rather than just writing on a bit of paper. So we'll definitely take some learning out of that situation in particular.
When you get on an 11-game winning streak as a coach, are you looking for the team to obviously have a down performance? Not looking for it, but did you pick up any signs at any stage leading into that week?
Yeah, no, we did. We felt the girls didn't train well during the week, and we're just a bit mentally fatigued. Nothing was showing up physically, but we did sense that, and we tried to perk things up on Thursday, and we trained a little bit better, but it was definitely there. It wasn't a case. Sometimes you get a case of complacency or getting ahead of yourselves, and that wasn't the case. Our group's not like that at all. But I think that just the grind of probably, you know, when they thought they were going away for a while and they'd got their heads around that, and that didn't happen, and they just weren't at their best for the last 2 weeks, to be honest.
Mm.
But you know, I think this is exactly what we needed to snap ourselves out of it, and also the other thing is a derby this week, so the girls are amped up and really excited and looking forward to that.
So it's a 1:40 start. Of course, it's followed by the men's game, so it's a brilliant double header, and that is quite incredible, that lightning in the background. But Kiara Bowes is someone who's going to be available to play. $400 sanction for tripping.
Yeah, last 3 seconds of the game as well. So, not many people get around Kiara, and I think she, Jess Wisham was almost around her, and I think her instincts slipped in, but there was no malice in it, no injury or anything. So, we're just very happy to have Kiara out there again next week, and we know that she's such an important player for us and sets the standards for us, and in a derby, which is no doubt going to be physical. Definitely prefer to have her out there than not, that's for sure.
Hey, Trent, across the competition, we're seeing the girls kick the ball a lot longer, aren't we? Particularly towards goal. I think there's been a couple from outside 50. And Roxy Roo on the weekend from 45, she's a little bit unsure of herself whether she could kick the distance, and she had one earlier in the game. But she basically put it onto the back fence from 45. I don't think I've done that too many times in my time at Fremantle. So it's good to see some of the girls are really improving their kicking.
Yeah, Roxy was doing that last year, and then this year she's just worked on a run-up, and she's probably been concentrating a bit too much but not getting the same momentum. And we just worked on that during the week, that if she is taking a long road shot, yeah, get back and get some momentum and kick it hard. So it was pleasing that she did that. And like you said, it hit the back fence, wasn't even close. So it was, what we needed at that stage, because that gave us a sniff and put Brisbane under a little bit of pressure. But, it's good now that the girls, you know, some of them have got those skills to do that, because it does make it important for us when sides are getting so many numbers back inside our 30 that we can still hit up someone at that range and be a good chance to score.
Whilst you've been so good on a big winning streak, you look at the ladder at the moment. You dropped a couple of spots. Of course, Collingwood now undefeated in the competition, and Brisbane go above you as well. So it's not going to be easy from here to get it done, particularly when you start playing against some of those Victorian sides in the finals.
Yeah, no, definitely. We still don't know what the fixture holds after this week, and if we do get a chance to play those Victorian sides, but it is very tight. The first thing we have to do is qualify to make sure that we finish in that top six. But then you're ideally looking at top two or at least top four to make sure you get one home final. So yeah, that's our aim. We'll start this week with the RAC Derby against West Coast, and hopefully get to 5-1 if we play well, and then see what unfolds from there.
So, Trent, it's still up in the air as to whether you'll be playing those Victorian teams, given what you've said, and you may well have to play the teams you've already played again.
It's possible. It really depends on the borders. If the borders are open, I think everyone's keen. I know we are keen to play some of those Victorian sides, but, that will depend on the borders and the different rules. We'll just have to wait and see for that, like I say. So it's very easy at the moment, plan the footy cliche of 1 week at a time, because that's all we can do. So we'll just keep ticking that off, and then the fixtures will probably come out, maybe over the weekend. Maybe they might wait even a bit longer to see if our border situation does change. But, we just have to wait and see.
All the girls fit and healthy going into the derby?
Yeah, no, we got through with the clean bill of health, and also the 8-day break, which we've probably been crying out for. So we actually gave the girls 2 days off completely, get away from the club, from me, and from each other. So I think that they'll bounce back into the club tomorrow evening really refreshed and with a great outlook, ready to go against West Coast.
Hey, Trent, the crowds have been really good down there at Fremantle Oval, haven't they? I was looking on the TV just to see sometimes 5,000, 6,000. They're now all paying customers, so it is a great sign, and there's a real appetite for it.
Yeah, it is. It's also a little bit harder as well, because the Waffle W, because of the fixturing being week to week, they haven't been able to separate the Waffle W from our games as well. So a big part of our crowd are the Waffle W players and supporters as well. So we're missing out in a few each week because of that and because of the uncertainty of fixturing. But there's still a great atmosphere down there and good numbers. And, yeah, they definitely lift the girls, that's for sure.
Good on you, mate. We will see you on the weekend. See you on Sunday.
Yep, can't wait for this really exciting doubleheader.
Good on you. Trent Cooper here on Sports Day. Frio and West Coast taking on each other at 1:40 in the AFLW. And then at 4:10, you'll hear it live here on 882 6PR. Paul Hazelby, Tim Gossage and myself will bring you the clash live here on 882 6PR. We're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to the start of what we call the real stuff getting underway in the not-too-distant future here on Sports Day. Tim Gears, he will join us next here on Sports Day. He is going to be part of the Rick Charlesworth Cup, which is going to be played for starting on March 5 this weekend. Welcome back to Sports Day. Well, you know that this bloke is out in the weather that has been upon us today. It's been quite incredible. There's been lightning and we find him, sounds like standing under a tin shed tonight. Tim, good evening to you. Tim Gears joins us from the Rick Charlesworth, well, it's not the cup tonight, but at hockey headquarters. Welcome, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, g'day boys. Good to be with you. It's absolutely teeming down here at hockey headquarters. It's just flashed white between my eyes, but no, going well.
All right. It's probably going to be a night where you will be working undercover given the lightning that is about the place tonight. But looking ahead to the weekend, March 5, mate, it's going to be a great opportunity to see the very, very best go at it for the Rick Charlesworth Cup.
Yeah, that's right. We kick off this year's Rick Charlesworth Classic with a grand final rematch against the Outback. I captained the Suns. We managed to win the inaugural tournament last year, and it all kicks back off Friday night. I think it's an eight-day tournament, culminating in a big finals weekend the following weekend.
Do you get to keep some of the team together, or is it a completely different team going into this season with the draft system?
Yeah, no, the majority of our team stays the same. So each team had to put six players back into the draft, but then they had the option to reselect those players. So we did that and we reselected a few guys, but we also see a few new faces in this year's group.
You also coach the under-18s team, which you've been doing tonight. You get to play alongside a few of those youngsters in this competition, which must be pretty special.
Yeah, that's right. Very exciting, and it's one of the great things about the tournament, and one of the things I enjoy most is, as you said, I've been out there tonight with the under-18 players, and we've got one or two of them actually in our group for the Rick Charlesworth Classic. So being able to coach those guys and then watch them come through the ranks, they're our future Thundersticks players. So that's one great thing about this tournament is it gives those players exposure against some of the elite players in the country.
Is it looking good for some of those youngsters, the under-18s, as they do progress through?
Yeah, well, we just remain hopeful that there's a tournament to play in Launceston come April. Unfortunately, last year's tournament was cancelled, but things are shaping up well this year. We've got a really exciting, talented young group, and some of those kids will be on display in the Rick Charlesworth Classic.
And with this, and you know, from your experience, is this going to be one of the key selection tools for the tournaments and the teams when you look ahead, and particularly when you've got that 2021 Premier League season just around the corner?
Yeah, that's correct. It's been used as a selection tool for both the under-21 state team and also the Perth Thundersticks, which is our open men's team and women's teams. So this tournament, they'll select an original group of athletes from this tournament, and then that squad will continue to take shape as we head towards the Hockey One League later in the year.
So the Classic culminates in the final on Sunday, March 14. There'll be a quadruple header that day to decide the bronze, the silver and gold medals across both the men's and women's competitions. Outbacks, Highlanders, Breakers and Suns teams will go at it. It's a gold coin donation and all the funds going directly to Telethon. So it's a great opportunity to see all the very best go at it. Even if they rocked up on that grand final day, you can't get much better than that.
No, that's right. It's going to be a fantastic spectacle of hockey. And from all reports and talking to those within Hockey WA, it's going to be plenty happening at the ground. There's going to be incentives for those that turn up. As you said, all the money's going towards a fantastic cause. There's going to be kids' activities, entertainment, live DJs. It's all going to be happening. And you get to watch some of the best players in the country go head-to-head in some showcase hockey games.
Now, just let me correct myself too. So it's a gold coin donation for Friday, Monday the 8th, Wednesday the 10th of March, and Thursday the 11th. And then for the weekend's action, which is Saturday and Sunday the 13th and 14th of March, it's $10 for adults. Kids under 18 are free, and 50% of the net proceeds from that weekend's gate takings will go directly to Hockey WA clubs, with attendees to nominate their chosen club of choice on entry. So that is a great initiative, encouraging all of you out there that are hockey club members to go along, support this event, because it will help support your club. Now, mate, when it comes to your coaching, how long have you been involved in the business of doing that?
Well, I think I've represented Hockey WA state team since the age of 14, and then I landed my first coaching gig in some of the representation sides about 3 years ago when I first was an assistant coach to the under-18s. We managed to rack up a silver medal that year, and most of the group from that year carried forward into last year when we had a really deep group, and my expectation was that we'd play the grand final. That was my first year as the head coach of the group, so it was a bit bit disappointing how it all turned out, but there's bigger things going on in the world, so we're back to do it all again this year. And as I said, we've got a fantastic group and looking forward to hopefully playing a tournament in April.
Your other passion is horse racing, and I do follow some of your work on social media. Tell us about this passion. Your partner's obviously involved, but some days you give out some really good tips.
Yeah, well, that keeps me busy away from hockey. My life's kind of divided in two parts, hockey and horse racing. No, my full-time job, yeah, work on the side of hockey is to do with the horse racing industry and form analysis and running a website, which is www.racingbet.com.au. So we try and find some winners for all the blokes who like a punt out there. My partner, Kate, is a jockey here in Perth, so we're working on getting her back to the racetrack. She had a fall at one of the trials in January of last year, so it's been a long road of recovery to get her back, and her family's into the training side of racehorses. So, yeah, I've been a hockey late tonight. We'll be up at 4 o'clock at Ascot in the morning and then back to the hockey tomorrow night and do it all again.
Brilliant, mate. Well, you sound like you've got plenty of energy in you. You sleep while you're dead, I say. That's always been my motto. Thank you very much for your time tonight.
No, thanks for having me on, boys, and look forward to seeing everyone out at the Rick Charlesworth Classic.
Good on you. It gets underway Friday, the 5th of March. As I said, a gold coin donation with all funds going directly to Telethon on the 8th, the 10th and the 11th. And then that weekend action, 13th and 14th of March, $10 for adults, kids under 18. Free. We will clear a commitment on the other side. Hayes will get into his dig. We'll do Kia's top seven and tell you what happened on this day. Now, we finish off tonight with a few little things here. The dig. Dial before you dig. Hayes, the first essential step.
I'm going to have a dig at George Bailey. He made some comments around Aaron Finch. Now, George Bailey, of course, is one of the selectors now. And he said this. He's got a terrific average. He's the captain of our side. And he will be captain of the side at the World Cup. And this is something I'm seeing a bit too much, Carl. I think guaranteeing positions in our national team. If you're not in form, you shouldn't get the opportunity. Now, I know he's obviously supporting him and trying to put something positive out there, hoping that he's going to make runs. But we saw this with Joe Burns. I think sometimes we're going too far with our Australian cricketers when they're out of form. And I wouldn't be guaranteeing anything. Make some runs, Finchie, and then you'll be the captain of our team.
100% correct. Don't dig yourself into a hole. Lodge a free dial before you dig inquiry. Now, Hayes, Kia's top seven. Kia's open season continues with match-winning deals.
Yeah, I'm going to do my top seven finishing positions on the AFL ladder. And as we spoke about, I think Port Adelaide will be the premiers this year. I like Geelong. They've got some good additions. This is their final chance for me. Brisbane will be up there, as we spoke to Daniel Rich. Richmond as well, going for three in a row. I think the West Coast Eagles, albeit it was a bit of a disappointing performance the other day, they'll get their players back. They'll be better for it. I think St Kilda, Carl, they've added to their squad. They can be improved again. And then I've got a couple of surprises coming in. I'm going to go Carlton at seven. And eight, I've got Fremantle, but I'll leave it Carlton at seven. So there is my top seven.
All right, so it's Kia's open season. Match-winning deals at Kia. Australia's best 7-year warranty at Kia right across the range. Now, on this day for Barron O'Day, because the little things are everything, on this day, in 1992, Garner's as
Azuma
Nelson KO'd. He KO'd Jeff Fenwick, did he, on this day in round eight in Melbourne. And I can tell you, Hayes, before you jump into a few other things that happened on this day, it's a lot of people's birthday today. Lee Matthews' birthday today. Your old sparring partner, Peter Bell, I hope you wished him a birthday. It's his birthday today. Will Power motorsport driver. It's his birthday today. Ivan Cleary, who is the current head coach of the NRL team, the Penrith Panthers. It's his birthday today. It's Jared Healy's birthday today, host of Sports Day over there on 3AW in Melbourne. And it is Ben Stratton's birthday today. So how about all those blokes? It's a happy birthday to all of them today.
That may be the most birthday sporting day that we've had, I reckon, Carl, in my time on this show.
I reckon it might be, mate.
And that is the 1st of March, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
1990, England cricket has its first win against West Indies in 16 years. 24 matches. Well, that won't ever happen again. A 9-wicket win in Kingston, Jamaica.
And I can tell you that Kari Webb won her first tournament in Australia with the Australian Ladies Masters Golf Tournament, which was played on the Gold Coast back in 1998. That all happened on this day for Barrando Day. Don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything. Now, it's been a busy show tonight. It always is here on Sports Day. Great to have the number of guests that we had on the program. Tomorrow, you will see WA take on South Australia in the One Day Cup. That match will be played down there at the Wacker, and we will also have a chat to all of the latest breakers in news, including, I think, Trevor Gleeson over there as our Wildcats continued on their winning ways on the weekend. So from 6 o'clock tomorrow, we'll see you right here for another edition of Sports Day. We'll see you then.